Real Music Matters.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show. Neil Delamere is hopefully here.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Otherwise, you were going to do a ropey Irish accent for the next 3 hours.
I've only got ropey Irish accents. Well, do you know what? I always think my accents are all right until I get to the town that I have to do them in. Yeah, I was in Glasgow last week and I got a bit in my set about a guy called Jeff from Glasgow who was in a speed awareness course that I was in. And all year, I've been just nailing that accent. I've not even thought about
it.
And suddenly, I'm in front of actual Glaswegians.
Did you bottle it or did you do it?
No, but what I did was, before I started it, I said, by the way, I'm about to do a Glasgow accent of this guy, Jeff, and I want you just to remember that you haven't met Jeff. So you don't know what he sounds like.
This could be a very specifically accurate
bang
accent.
On. I think his mum was maybe from Manchester.
There's definitely a Salford connection.
Every fourth word might slip back into English. Yeah, so it's always a bit nerve-wracking, that.
Ah, yeah. I mean, I think the thing with the Irish accent is that people usually pick the... You get these mid-range accents that don't actually exist. It's when they do... The English accents are the same.
Yeah, brilliant.
Have you ever seen that show with Sam Crowe, the motorbike? What's it called?
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy.
When they do the Northern Irish.
Yeah, there's a season when they come to Northern Ireland and they go into the Europa Hotel. And I've been in the Europa Hotel.
Yeah.
And it does not look like that. And also, there's nothing that'll ruin a TV show than a bad accent. There was two brothers in Hells on Wheels and they were meant to have Irish accents, and one had a Kerry accent and one had a Dublin accent. Like, they're 170 miles apart.
Yeah.
It's Manchester, London.
But it was the Americans, like the American actors they got to play.
Yeah.
Like, they never left the States. Like, not one bit was filmed in Northern Ireland.
Yeah. There used to be kind of a shot from a helicopter, and it was very green fields and yellow ridges on the motorbikes, and you went, okay, they're in Northern Ireland. And then they'd cut and they'd be chatting in a clearing and there'd be like cactuses in the background and wild cats and
they
stuff
just
like
don't
that.
Even I watched have you watched Designated Survivor on Netflix?
Yes. Right. It's horrendous but good.
It's awful. So good.
Yeah.
So brilliantly terrible.
Who do you think is the designated survivor? Explain the concept, I suppose.
He's like Kiefer Sutherland, isn't it? He's the guy who's left behind when they get the swearing the new president in, and he's doing his speech to the house, and then that blows up.
Yeah,
everybody dies.
Yeah,
and he was just like in charge of like traffic lights.
traffic lights.
And now he's in charge of the whole country, right? But it's kind of, you know, there's something about it. Obviously, with the current president, there's something quite like, it's not a bad idea, you know. So
you're now on a watch list.
Yes, I've been on one for a while.
Yeah.
And there was an episode, I think it was the end of season two, where she had to come to London to find the daughter of someone or other, and it was clearly Toronto.
Yeah.
To a point where they so overdressed it,
it's like 1950s London.
There's a black cab, there's a red phone box, there's a red post box, there's people with Union Jack flags. It was so horrendous. It's like, don't even try. And their accents are that sort of Mary Poppins. Just, don't even bother.
You've gone too far. If there's going to pit helmet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a guy dressed from Zulu, like Michael Caine in the background. You're going, overkill, lads.
And if you were making stuff 40 years ago and there was budget restrictions on being able to do stuff abroad, like, I don't think many of the Yanks would have noticed. They probably wouldn't have noticed. I mean, you know, it was that famous thing of like 70% of Americans didn't even have a passport, you know.
Yeah.
But now...
Yeah, there's the internet.
Even they notice.
Yeah. And I imagine that there's probably some English actors and Irish actors who are looking for a bit of work in America.
I think there's probably a few.
Just throw a stone in a restaurant and you'll hit one of us.
Exactly.
And I don't suggest you actually throw a stone in a restaurant.
That's not how you should be getting.
But I think it's... although it would be a good way to get work. It's a new Home Office regulation.
Jason Manford. Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Neil Delamere's here. I just had a text in saying, on the topic of Americans doing UK and Ireland, can I remind you of the Geordie on Castle? Did you ever watch Castle?
No, I love Geordies, though.
Yeah, but
it's the best accent in the world.
Yeah, but he wasn't one.
No, well, I think we all know that.
He was very much not a Geordie. But, like, had obviously been sent some tape on, you know.
Of We'd Have Seen Pet.
Yeah.
Just to spend her best bits.
I read no problem. Like, awful. A way man. Like, just odd. Very
I think you're 100% right, though. Yeah, I would bottle it out. I would, you know, like, yeah. If I do stuff about Belfast, I don't do it in Belfast.
No.
Because, I mean, Belfast and Glasgow are similar in that the judgment in their eyes comes with just
yes.
layers of skill at making you feel bad if you let them down.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah, and certainly up in Belfast, I mean, they can hold a grudge up here.
They can, yeah.
I mean, famously. I, like, you know, so,
I don't know if you're familiar with the backstory of...
So you want to make sure you have a good gig every time.
Yeah, that is true. I like the way you told me that this was in Belfast, that we were going to be in Belfast today. We're not in Belfast,
we're
are
not,
we?
Technically.
We're essentially in the Isle of Man.
Yeah,
we're like 12 miles outside in a... Like, I went into Belfast, came out of Belfast, saw cows, and went, we're not in Belfast anymore, are we?
This is not. We're a bit out of the way. We're at Cool FM here in Northern Ireland. But yeah, it's a weird one with the accents. I'm trying to learn one at the moment because I'm doing Guys and Dolls at the Albert Hall.
And?
And obviously that's set in, you know, 50s New York. So, and I've done New York before. I was Leo Bloom in The Producers.
I saw that in Dublin.
You did?
The Producers, and it was very good.
It was a fun show. But that was a nice, easy accent, really, because it was just very... It was high, and it was like, Mr. Bialystok, like it was up there, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas this guy, Nathan Detroit, is very... You know, he's cool. He's a bit cooler.
Who played him in the film?
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, okay, so, I mean, if you start from the point of view of you're never going to be as good as Frank Sinatra, I mean, it's not somebody who did a bad version of it. You cannot simply be as
no.
good as him.
No, there's nothing you can do.
No, so, like, you should just do you.
Yeah, but saying
you
that...
You do I'm... you. It's like an inspirational poster.
Yeah.
Hashtag Jason does Jason. Why don't people text in with the accents and then you have to attempt them?
That's oh, my suggest. Goodness.
Yes.
Imagine. How many people can we offend?
Can we offend in the space of...
The people of Middlesbrough have still not forgiven us from a few weeks back when...
Right. Did you just cough repeatedly into the microphone like you had asthma?
I was doing Geordie. Really, it was Geordie. But they were like, that's not Middlesbrough. But to my ear, I was like, it's Middlesbrough. They didn't appreciate it. But there are strong... I mean, the Irish accent and the Northern Irish accent and the Glaswegian accent, there's and Scouse has the same thing, Geordie to a point. There's certain accents that are so strong that you could spend... You could spend maybe 6 months, the first 6 months of your life in Belfast. You were born in Belfast, you spent 6 months here, and then you were whisked away, and then you were lost in a rainforest somewhere for 45 years.
Yes.
And when you're rescued, you're like, thanks very much.
Right,
like,
you're
like, what's going on here?
Hey, Tarzan, how's it going?
How's he kept it? Whereas my accent, I sometimes, even by the end of this show, I'll be slightly you.
Really?
Yeah, I just pick it up. I'm like, it's weird, like a chameleon. Okay. Sort of anything around, I sort of listen. I'm like, just go.
You should
in.
Do my accent at the end of this, and I'll rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of offence.
Oh God, let's not do that.
I think let the people have their choice.
I'm in Dublin next week, to be fair.
Oh really?
So, yes.
I'll teach you some words.
Cheers, if you could.
Sorry, would be the big one.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
Good morning, it's Jason Manford's show. Neil Dellum is here.
Hello.
Hello. So are you about to go on tour? Or you...
I'm going on tour in November, and then it'll go from then to probably April or May, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
Around Northern Ireland and the Republic, yeah.
Yeah, great stuff.
And then it'll do Edinburgh as well.
The Edinburgh Festival.
People actually come to Edinburgh now.
Yes.
The first time I did the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, mm-hmm. I had so few people. My agent gave me a box of chocolates at the end of the run, and I handed a chocolate to everybody in the audience. And you know you're not doing well for numbers when you haven't gotten through to the second layer of the box of chocolates. But now they come.
Well, that's good. You got that's it. It's a slow process. I remember my first tour, and I, you know, turning up at these venues, and they're not even putting out like all the seats, and you're like, what? You know, it can be pretty heartbreaking.
Ben, you were in the Ulster Hall last night.
The
boy
Ulster
done
Hall,
good.
Ulster Hall last night, yeah, very nice. Waterfront in Belfast tomorrow, and then we're right through. Then we do Galway, Limerick, Cork, Dublin.
What I love about the Ulster Hall is that if anybody ever explains the history of it to you, like some of the most incendiary speeches in the history of the world were made in there, and then you come along and go, a woman said something funny to me in the cab. Yeah, you go, I don't know. Basically, you did in gig terms last night what you're going to do in Guys and Dolls. You're never going to live up to the original version of the speech that was made in the Ulster Hall. But you know, you just do you.
You just got to do you. That's all you can do. Yeah, it was a fun night. It's been I was in Derry on Friday. Friday as well, and there was a whole chat there before we went on. I was like, what are we calling this place?
And what did they say?
They said, we just call it Derry.
Okay.
I was like, okay, fine. I was like, can I call it Derry? Like, what do you want me to call it? I'm happy. Whatever you want me to
I do is I deliberately switch up all the names so you couldn't offend everybody. Northern Ireland, North of Ireland, Derry, Londonderry, Game of Thrones land, Mordor, Narnia, any of those things. Anything at all.
Yeah.
I think people just listen. They know that if you have...
The way I've got to, you know, I've got this far, you know, after 20 years, is that I figure everyone who's come has got a sense of humour.
Yeah, that's a mistake I've made before as well, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, you would hope so, wouldn't you? I've got some texts coming in, 8, 12, 15. Do let us know what has dragged you out of bed this morning. Always lovely to hear from you. Who got Ben and Sharon this morning, who are up and about listening to... We listen to the show every week. Well, thank you very much. Always a great way to start a Sunday. Up early as I'm taking my son back to Lancaster University for his third and final year. So currently packing kitchen items and plates, etc. Then on to pack the car with all various contents required to be a student.
Well, we'll see if it's his final year. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's a bold claim there, Sharon.
maybe he could be there. If he's sending you that text in 5 years and the guy has repeated it and he's done it 8 years in the 3-year course.
Did you go to university?
I did.
Yeah, and did you just do the three?
I did four.
Did four?
I did four.
But were you supposed to do four?
No, I was meant to do four. Thank you very much.
Oh, right, yeah. I was just
yes, I got a first class degree in computer applications, Jason.
Oh, right.
I was a software engineer. Yes, before I took my father's money that I paid for my education and just poured it gently down the drain to come to Cool FM in an industrial estate on the outskirts of Belfast to chat to you.
Showbiz, ladies and gentlemen. I just about went to university.
You did?
Just, I scraped through.
Arts or something?
I did
arts, did
media
you?
And performance.
Right, so that's barely university. Really,
I mean, just about.
That was a tough hour a week, was it?
Yeah, it was 7 hours a week sometimes.
It was not.
We did an hour of breathing.
What had you done up to that point in your life?
I know.
You were 18.
I was a bit like, if you fail this, then what are you even doing?
Okay, put the snorkel down. You're not great.
We breathe from the diaphragm. You're like, I'm going to stick to the lungs. I'm not messing about now. It's still be all right so
I'm
far.
I'm going to mainline the oxygen straight into the bronchus.
Well, good luck. Good luck going into your third year, of course, as well, is the year where you've got to start like concentrating as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
First year, I mean.
Yeah, you're just out.
Do we even buy a book?
No.
It's just mostly social.
Yeah, it is social. Yeah. You're joining clubs, you're meeting girls, you're learning how to do duffel coats, you know, all the stuff.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, best of luck. Best of luck in your third and, fingers crossed, final year at university. Neil's not.
What's the course?
They've not said. Yeah. I don't know.
Text us back.
Yeah, we'll see if it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Some tough courses.
We'll be the judge of that. What's the university as well?
But you
Lancaster.
Did you did a tough course. I didn't do a tough course. It wasn't that hard. Just acting and that. What was hard was being in Salford. That was the only hard bit.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it's tough walking through the back streets of Salford in leg warmers.
Oh, God.
To your breathing
I just
class.
Got an image of the Manchester version of Fame. I think it should be made.
People, people are screaming, scallies are screaming at you, and you're running off and you just because they don't like your leotard. Yeah. Like, it's pretty hard work.
Jazz hands is not as effective as a fighting technique as West Side Story suggested.
For a long time.
We were lied to.
For a long time, that's how I used to try and call a taxi. Straight past you.
Yeah.
Shaz is up, she's in Redditch. Hi Jason, I'm out of bed because I'm excited. Tonight I'm going to see they might be Giants in Bristol.
Great stuff.
Bird health in your soul. We play that on here every so often, it just come up, it's great. They were the first band that I ever saw in 1990 when I was only 16. Crikey.
That's first very band. Impressive. My brother used to have that album, Flood, I think it was called, wasn't it? They might be Giants, great song. And my last holiday was in Istanbul, not Constantinople. Nice. Yeah.
What was the first band you ever saw live?
Fun, Love and Criminals.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And Huey was as cool then as he is now.
That is ace.
Yeah.
Is ace. I'm trying to think who we saw live first. Because my family were all in bands, so it all got sort of blurred into one. I think we went to see the Saw Doctors in Manchester.
Oh, I'd say that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But like when you're 13, that was like, and just watch it. People were getting hammered from like midday. I was like, what is this? There's nobody here for the music.
Oh my God. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music
Matters. Absolute Radio. Hope you're well this morning. It's the Jason Manford Show. Neil Delamere is here.
Good morning.
And we got a text back to say that he's gone to university.
Yeah.
And he's studying film, media and cultural studies.
Yeah.
I think he'll pass.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to watch? The Goonies? Crikey. I'm not doing down anyone's...
yes, you know, you are. You
know,
can't...
But I did media and performance, yes. So I'm coming from a place of knowing what an easiest topic is.
Yeah, hold on. He had film as well in there, though. You didn't do film.
Cultural studies.
Yeah, I mean, that could be anything.
That could be literally anything.
Yeah. Although, you see, you're kind of mocking him now. And then, you know, in 10 years, he could have an Oscar. And you'll feel like an idiot.
He'll be like, do you know what I was going to...
Who's that guy playing the aging Guys and Dolls star?
Yeah.
That's what
he'll be like, oh, do you know what I need? He's like an overweight, white, northern comic. But I can't... What about Jason Manford?
No.
He's dead to me.
He won't even say it. He'll just go cold. In fact, when you work for him as an assistant, you'll be briefed never to mention the words Jason or indeed Manford in any case.
Jonathan in Mansfield, he's up this morning. Work's dragged me out of bed. Plaster in a living room with a hangover. Oof, that's not what you want to be doing.
That
is pretty rough. Joseph. Morning, Jason. Great show last night at the Ulster Hall. Thanks for coming. Up early due to dog sitting a three-legged dog called Maggie. It's always cute when you see a three-legged dog, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it the front leg or the back leg gone, I wonder?
They've not specified.
Yeah.
Have you seen a dog in a little wheelchair? Have you seen one of them yet?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
There's something amazing about
it. I had a greyhound and, God, that just... particularly as a comic, because you're coming back and your missus is probably asleep because she's a normal human being and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm. And then his dog comes out and just greets you. And he was a moron as well. My dog was an absolute moron. Like, you know, you bring my dog for a walk and you go, do you want to go for a walk? And you go, yeah, let's go for a walk, but I'll get this walk done. And then we'll go for a walk. So he was like an idiot, but he was just joyous in terms of company.
Yeah, I would love a dog, but my wife's got a phobia of dogs.
Okay.
So that ain't happening. And I know.
How long are you married?
Not long.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So we'll see.
Let's see.
You know,
as she hears the barking come closer to the house, that might be maybe a sign that
it's weird when we're out and about and we're ever at anybody else's house and they've got a dog. She'll say, oh, I don't really like dogs, and she'll say, oh, but you've not met our dog. Like, she's like, it's not on an individual basis. It's not like I don't like those dogs. I'm not scared. I have a phobia of all dogs.
All of them.
All of them. Doesn't matter how happy your one is, at some point it could turn, is her theory. But I know, so I don't think we'll ever get one, to be honest. I know, it's pretty heartbreaking. I'd love one.
Is she the same age as you, your wife?
Mm.
Okay.
I know. Oh, you were thinking if she died first.
Is that what you're thinking?
But if she's older, maybe she'll die first. And then you can have a dog to replace her.
Do you know what I mean?
Neil.
Is she fit and healthy?
Wow.
I'm just trying to get you a dog. Don't you attack me for trying to make your dreams come true.
I think if it comes to it, I'd rather have her for another couple of years.
Okay. Oh, but you're not putting the time limit on it. A couple of years.
And then straight down to the pound.
Where real music matters.
Absolute Radio. It's the Jason Manford Show. Neil Delamere is with me. We're live from Belfast, just outside
our surrounds.
The surrounding area. A nearby industrial park. That's where we are. If you're up and about this morning, thanks for all your texts. Louise in Stockport, who's with Rob and 7-year-old Megan. They're up in Inverness for the big run. Wishing Rob the best of luck. I hope it goes well. Judith's up and about. She was at my show last night at Ulster Hall. Thanks very much for coming along. And some people are just up because they need to get breakfast.
Breakfast. Most important meal of the day.
Absolutely. And Azzy in Falkirk. Morning, Jason. Up at 7 a.m. to take my racing pigeons training for next season.
You don't think about the training that the pigeons put in, do you? I mean, you think they just have a natural gift for it, but they have to put it in as
Yeah, of course.
I mean, where are they in the next Lucas Aid ad?
They've got exactly. They need to. You've got to practice, mate.
Absolutely.
Whether you are man or beast.
You know, you never see practicing. You know, the people who run the London Marathon or the Belfast Marathon dressed as like a hippo. You know, those people are a giraffe.
Yes, where are those guys?
But you never see them training.
No.
Like, you're never in a park and a fella just runs by you dressed as a full hippo. Do you? I never thought about pigeons.
I'm not sure those people are in it to win it.
You think?
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
There isn't like you never see, you know what I mean?
There's you never not catch like... one juicing, do you? You never catch one like taking stuff that they shouldn't be taking.
No, and at no
for
point
the edge.
Yeah, at no point do you see like a man dressed as a fridge taking over an Ethiopian. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and then dipping for the line, and then his freezer door opens, and that's how he wins it. You never see that.
Not once.
Maybe you should. They don't want it enough.
We've actually got Holly on the line this morning, who's going to do something a bit competitive. Good morning, Holly.
Morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks.
Lovely. So where are you off to this morning?
We're in Birmingham for a trampolining competition, the British Championship.
Amazing. And how old are you?
15.
15. And, you're in it to win it, yeah?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Trying.
How long have you been trampolining for, Holly?
A year and a half.
Oh, wow. So you're relatively new. And how long do you? How long does your routine on the trampoline last then?
Not long, because it's only 10 bounces.
So, 10 bounces. Wow.
Yeah.
Have you done trampolining?
I have.
Neil?
Yes, I have.
It's surprisingly hard.
Yes. Yeah.
It's really quite hard, Holly. I'm not. And it's the disability games, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
That you're going to. Amazing. So, and how many other people will be there today?
It's the arena, Birmingham. So, and it's all the Olympians and everything as well. So it's quite weird.
Amazing. Yeah, I bet. So are we at some point maybe going to see you in the Olympics?
Possibly, if they put it in the Paralympics, because it's not in there yet, so...
Right. Oh, that'd be exciting. We could be speaking to a future Paralympic star.
She's not going to talk to us next. She's going to win this thing out today.
Yeah.
She's only going to do 8 bounces, but the 8 bounces will be so good that everybody else will give up.
You've rang us this time, but I've got a feeling in a couple of years' time, she won't be answering the phone.
No.
We'll be like, let's try and get Holly on. Nah, not interested. Just and she just bounces off.
And where do you train, Holly?
Trafford Trampolining Club in Salford.
Okay, that's not far from me.
So you've no excuse,
Jason? Yeah.
No, but I've taken my kids to like one of them jump, you know, what they call Jump Nation or whatever, you know, where they do the trampolining thing. And there's always a... Because when you go in there, they go, are you having a go? And I go, nah, I'm all right, thanks. And then after about 10 minutes, you're like, ah, I do want to go, actually. Now I've seen it. And then you go and get the special socks and you get on there. And about 4 minutes of bouncing, I can feel that for about a week.
If I were Holly, I would deliberately go to people's parties who have bouncy castles and just lure people into a false sense of security and then just do the most amazing routine. So what time are you on at, Holly?
I'm going into the training hall at 5:09.
Brilliant, brilliant. So really close. Right, well, you get yourself off, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Best of luck. Let us know if you win.
Okay, bye.
All right, see you soon.
Good luck,
bye.
Holly.
Bye.
This is
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
If there's anybody under 12 listening, they will find this hilarious.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so... big news.
Yeah.
Scientists, God love them, right? Did you know, Neil, holding a fart in could cause you to breathe it out of your mouth?
Okay, there's no way that that's true. How does it move
Listen,
up the body?
If you are disgusted by this idea and try your hardest to hold the gas in, they're not alone, but you also could be suffering from nasty consequences. According to experts, that's all it says.
Yeah, boffins.
Boffins. If you hold a fart in, the gas can recirculate around the body and come out from some shocking places. Claire Collins, a professor, no less, in nutrition and dietetics, is that a word?
Yeah.
At the University of Newcastle in New South Wales, Australia. Australia. Makes sense now. The next time you feel a large volume of intestinal gas getting ready to do what it does, she says in her expert white coat, try to move to a more convenient location. Whether you make it there or not, the best thing for your digestive health is just to let it go. A build-up of the intestinal gas can trigger abdominal distension, with some gas reabsorbed into the circulation and exhaled in your breath. Holding on too long means the build-up of the gas will eventually escape via somewhere else.
So if you...
Wow.
Now, there's issues there, isn't there?
Welcome
First of all,
to the show, everybody.
How do you judge? So that woman is judging the large. So if you're in a situation, you have to go, is this going to be a large one or is it going to be a medium one?
Yeah, you've got to know. And as you get older, it's harder to tell.
Yeah.
I'm constantly surprised by a fart. I'm like a dog. I'm like, oh my God, was that me?
Who was that?
Goodness.
Well, so...
Do you ever do the walking fart? Have you ever done that, like it just comes out on every step?
I think we've all done that.
That's a classic, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's one of the reasons they frowned on me as an altar boy, to be honest with you. It somewhat takes away from the solemn occasion of a funeral. Yeah.
And those churches are real echo chambers.
I mean, they are built for acoustics. If any church, if any building was built for you not to do that in.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry we've started off on this topic, but I saw it in the paper and I had to tell you.
So could you light your own belches?
I don't know. Can you even light your own trumps? Is that a thing?
You can. Absolutely, it's a thing.
I don't think I've searched that on YouTube yet.
Text back to the fella who did that thing in Lancaster University. He's doing 2 hours a week on film and culture.
Yeah, he'll find time.
His first year he's done that, I can guarantee you.
Oh, we'll move on, I promise you.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Neil, I've had a busy week.
Yeah, what were you doing?
I was filming the TV show I do for ITV called What Would Your Kid Do?
Okay.
Which I'm sure you've seen.
Listen, not only have I seen, but if you pick an episode, I could probably do it verbatim.
So the show, for the people who don't know, not you, Neil,
no,
you know.
No, I know.
I mean other people.
Yeah.
The show is about, essentially, we get kids and we don't get them. It's not like, you know what I mean?
Method acting in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang,
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, exactly. People bring their kids along to the show and we do some little games with them, you know. We do Don't Look in That Box, we say to the kids, or will you do this or will you not do that? And then we ask the parents what we think. What they think their kid would do.
Yeah.
And people don't know their kids as well.
Really?
As they think they did. But it's a lovely, fun show, and we're filming it at the moment. My favourite moment this week, and we've done a lot this week, we've done all the outside stuff. So we did Longleat Safari Park. We did a living museum in Chichester. We did the Golden Hind in London, the huge ship there. And there was a moment on there, there was a little kid from Bowness in Scotland, little six-year-old Reese, and I don't want to spoil it, of course. I won't tell you all the things that happened, but there were some very funny moments. But my favourite moment was little Reese. So the game was, will you pick up a rat and put it back in its cage?
Right.
So you're asking a six-year-old.
A rat?
A rat.
Okay.
I mean, they're clean. You know, we've got an animal handler.
Yeah, but it's still a rat.
Still a rat, isn't it?
Okay.
But actually, they're quite popular, the old rats.
Really?
People have them as pets and all sorts. So that was the game. Will you get in this area, pick up the rat and put it back in its cage? That was it. So the rat expert came out and he said to the kids, give him a little chat before the show. He said, actually, rats are incredibly intelligent. And this little kid goes, no way. And he goes, they are. They're really, really clever. And he went, no way, mate. No way a rat's clever. And he goes, no. He's like, this adult is looking at this kid. This adult's an expert.
Yeah.
He's not making it up.
Yeah.
He's going, No, honestly, they are. They're incredibly intelligent. And young Reese, he looked in the cage, like face to face with the rat, and he went, all right, then, what's my name? I was gone.
Was that it?
And the rat didn't know his name, to be fair.
Did the rat even guess?
Didn't even bother trying.
Like, that's just...
Oh, I love it when an expert is just, like, taken down a peg or two. By a kid.
And did he, can you tell us if did he do the thing that he was meant to do?
You'll have to find out.
Okay, right.
You'll have to find out. The show is on later on in the year.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Matters.
Good morning. It's Jason Manford's show on Absolute Radio. Neil Delamere is here.
Good morning.
Now, it's a couple of weeks back now, but I did a memorial near where I live. And it sort of got me thinking of a topic, right? The topic is going to be, for the next few minutes, it's things that you did as a child that you'd like to now apologise for.
Right.
Okay, it's been a while. You know, water under the bridge.
Time has passed.
Yes. So I did a memorial for... We have mentioned him on the radio before, actually. It has come up maybe, must be cracking, might be a year ago now. An old fella called Edgar, who recently died. That's why you do memorials.
Yeah.
And it's really awkward when they're still sat there.
Yeah.
And
particularly if they don't know that they're sick.
Exactly. So he was the groundskeeper of the local, there was a cricket club up the road from ours. A bit of a sort of, you know, it was a nice enough cricket club, but it was still a bit of a, you know, working class area. But if we climbed over the back wall, you could get onto the field and we would go and play football
on the cricket pitch.
On the cricket pitch, which of course is immaculately cut, beautifully cut. So, you know, the guy painstakingly. And then those little scroats would come on, it's these feral children running around, kicking up mud and whatnot. And we used to do that a lot. And that's that. You know, I'm sorry for that, but also I just think, well, that's just kids. But this is the bit that I even now feel guilty about. So we used to. He was old even then. I mean, this is like 30 years ago, and he was an old man then. So I don't know how he. He only died for a week. I don't know how old he was. And I remember he used to come out. There was lots of rumours about him. He had dogs. He had guns. Like this, he was just a terrifying. He was that terrifying figure.
The stuff the kids make up about.
Yeah,
groundskeepers.
And sometimes we'd stand on the wall as he was, because he'd never run. He would just walk. You know, like T2 in the second Terminator.
Could other people see him?
Everyone could see.
Okay, right.
He was a real thing.
Okay,
but he was like the Terminator. He would just carry on walking, and but he would never come off the field. He would just get to the very edge, and we'd sing. Eggy, eggy in the egg pot, right? Because he was called Edgar. That was as witty as we got when we were.
I could see why you did drama and cultural studies.
Hey boys, can we harmonise?
Yes.
And but the thing that kills me even now, I feel, and I actually mentioned at his memorial and apologised to him wherever he was one time he'd obviously got so sick of it. There was a bit of rough grass in the corner, and he'd one weekend of his own time, he'd come in and he'd made it into a little football pitch.
Oh.
Yeah, and he'd obviously cut it around. He'd come on, put some lines on and everything, made it a little football pitch.
For
us little council estate kids. And we came on, we're like, wow, amazing. And we played on it and played on it. And after about 2 hours of playing on it, one of the bigger boys said, well, it's a bit bumpy though, isn't it? Do you go and play the cricket pitch? And we did.
You're a disgrace.
And I just want to say sorry. Even though he's no longer with us, I want to say sorry to wherever he is now, because I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night like, oh God, Edgar. So,
do you think that's enough? Do you think now that you've, you've stopped playing football?
Yeah.
It's not like you regularly still play football.
How dare you?
It's just your silky skills. You just don't have the physical confidence. No, you don't move with the grace that you used to have.
I'm more of a Matt Letizia now.
Yes.
That's me.
Yes. Yeah. Retired.
Retired.
15 years.
Exactly. Sat down watching other people.
Yeah, 1995 was probably his best time. You're apologising for something you did 30 years ago.
Yes.
But I mean, you're not making amends really though, are you?
Well, I feel like
what's
I
your
am.
Penance?
Oh, I'm not doing penance.
Like you should have to...
What? Make a football pitch for somebody else?
Chase children off a random cricket pitch.
All right, I'll get to it.
I know a rat you can use. He's very clever. He'll probably just coordinate the movements of everybody involved.
I want your things that you would like to apologise for from many years ago. It doesn't have to be when you were a kid, but just something...
I'll tell you mine.
We'll hear Neil's very shortly as well.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's Jason Manford. Hope you're very well this morning. Neil Delamere is here this morning. We're talking about things that you need to apologise for from when you were a child.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'd like to apologise. When I was seven, you make your holy communion, your first communion, it's a big deal. You've probably seen it in films, or you're a big Irish family.
There,
you
yeah,
know exactly
yeah.
what I'm yeah. talking about. And my dad found a hole in the wire fence, and we all broke into Dublin Zoo when I was seven, all of us. And so two men, man and woman in their 50s, and four children sneaked in. Now, he didn't know where it led. It could have led anywhere. It could have led into the lion enclosure.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he was full on Irish style. Like, he wouldn't have admitted he was wrong at that point. He would have, I got us the premium tickets. That's why the lion is right in front of you. And I was dressed, because it was the 80s, I had a leather jacket, leather tie, leather belt, leather shoes. So half communicant, half kind of gimp suit, essentially. And I had a rosette on as well, because you know, he had a little rosette. So
yeah.
Not only did I look like a gimp, but a gimp who'd won a prize of some sort. And then we sneaked into to Dublin Zoo. So I'd like to apologise to them for that. And he also addressed me as a cow, and if you think about it, it's the lion enclosure.
Prize cow, though.
So, so if one of us was going down, it wasn't going to be him. It was going to be the kid in all the leather gear.
Did you have a proper full walk around the zoo then?
Yeah.
And nobody came and
nobody
stopped
ever
you?
Came. Like, it was 1980 whatever. So
yeah,
I mean,
of course.
There weren't overly...
CCTV, there wasn't really much of that.
Yeah, overly concerned with health and safety back then, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we saw all the animals.
Did even the animals were like, yeah, I mean, this is our day off.
Yeah, there was other people in the zoo.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we didn't break in at night or anything like that.
I thought...
You thought it was like a private tour.
Yeah, the way you described it was like there was nobody else.
Hold on, don't blame me at the way you described it, Neil. I mean, you incorrectly described
the situation. Right. The way I pictured it after you said it was that you were the only people in there, and even like the monkeys were like, what are these people doing?
And everybody came alive. That's Night at the Museum that you're thinking of there.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
And Teddy Roosevelt showed us around.
I'm thinking of Madagascar.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what's happened
there. They were talking animated animals. No, there was other people there as well.
Oh, okay.
I would have been more impressed had he kind of planned it and cased the zoo out. And then we break in. But we just broke in. And then, like people trying to leave in a heist film, people trying to just blend in with the crowd as it moves through the zoo. That's exactly what we did.
Well, once you're in, you're in. You just like
once
other
you're
people.
In, you're in.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Wow, there
save
you go.
£5 or something.
So there's your apology. That's
sorry to Dublin Zoo.
There you go. So there's an apology to Dublin Zoo. I've apologised to Edgar the groundskeeper, who's no longer with us, and I want yours.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Things that you would like to apologise for. So I've apologised to the old groundskeeper, who we spoilt his cricket pitch. Neil has apologised to Dublin Zoo. For I mean, it's your dad who needs to apologise, really. So
this is true. I was under his influence.
You were a child.
Yes.
In a court of law, you didn't do anything wrong.
No.
You know what I mean? So, 8:12:15 on the text this morning. We've got Jenny on the line who has got an apology to make. Good morning, Jenny.
Hi, Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Crawley.
Crawley. Do you know Crawley, Neil?
I do. Yes.
There you go. So, tell us who you are apologising to.
Right. It was my childhood friend and neighbour, who's actually ironically a neighbour around the corner from me now. His name's Adrian Arnott. And basically, we all used to hang out together as kids, play in the back garden, roughhouse, that sort of thing. And we got into a bit of a scuffle one day, and he chased me, and I ran off, and I ran upstairs to my dad's bedroom and barricaded the door. And sort of he's rattling on the door. I'm sort of trying to stop him from getting in. And I looked for the nearest thing to hand to grab. Don't know why. He opens the door, I grab this thing and smack him over the head with it, and it was my dad's leather belt from the 70s.
Ooh, out.
And
buckle end,
cut
buckle.
His head open. Yeah.
You actually cut his head?
I did cut his head.
Oh my goodness, Jenny.
What age were you, Jenny, at this point?
I can't even remember. I know, I think I was about 8, something like that.
8 years
something
old.
Around
and
that, yeah.
And did he cry with the as the blood
I think he did
down
a little bit, and I was in a lot of trouble.
I bet you were.
Does he still have like a Budweiser
imprint
of the buckle on his head?
I mean, it wasn't that bad in that respect.
Has he got like a phobia
of
bells now? Do you see him in the street and his pants keep falling down? Like, I would wear a belt. Don't say belt to me.
He wears braces all the time.
He does still speak to me, so that's good. He's clearly gotten over it, but it was, it was absolutely awful. So,
well, it was a lovely for you to apologise, Jenny. Thank you very much.
Yes. Can I just say happy birthday to my daughter, because we're literally just about to go out and celebrate her 8th birthday today.
Oh, of course. What's her name?
Little Althea.
Do you know her name, or shall I tell you?
It's Althea.
Althea. There you go. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Althea. Lovely stuff. Have a lovely day. Cracky.
Yep.
8 years old.
We'll see you for your lovely sing song soon as well. Your lovely little...
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. We're
see
coming
you in London.
To you. Yeah, all right. Okay.
All right, see you there. Thanks, Jenny.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Jason. Absolute Radio.
Manford.
Where real music matters.
Neil Delamere is my guest, live from Belfast.
All right. An industrial estate just outside.
Nearby. Neil is he's doing an Irish tour.
Yeah.
That'll be at the end of this year and the
start
next year.
Yeah, starts in November and then goes all the way to kind of April. Ulster Hall and Millennium Forum and Derry and...
Lovely venues.
Grand Opera, all the rest,
That's where I was this weekend myself. Where can people find out more information about
NeilDelamere.com. /.
Imaginative.
Yes, I thought so. I thought JasonManford.com would be somewhat setting them up for a fall. Yes.
It's taken. You're quite right. We're looking this morning we're talking about the apologies that you'd like to make to people who, you probably should have said a sorry to
at the time.
Really. But I'm happy to take the apology now. This has come through this morning. I'm so sorry to the old man that I threw a penny at out of the car window when I was little. I don't know what came over me. I was a very shy, well-behaved child, but that day I was just testing some serious boundaries.
That's pretty bad, actually, isn't it?
A penny?
Because,
out of a window,
Because it's going, the penny's then going at the same speed as the car.
Yeah.
So you threw a penny at possibly 30 miles an hour at an older man.
Yeah. Crikey. What about this, Nigel P in Birmingham? When I was about 8 or 9, we were visiting London with my mum and dad. Outside Buckingham Palace, a foreign lady, could have been Chinese, I can't remember now, asked me to take a photo of her family with Buckingham Palace behind. I went to take the photo, but my mum and dad hadn't realised and had walked on. So I pretended to take the photo and ran off in a panic. I've worried all this time, all my life, that I'm just really sorry that I didn't take that photo. And as a kid, it troubled me that they never got one.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But on the other side of that, there are Photoshop now. So I assume that woman still has a picture of herself. And there are pictures available of Buckingham Palace on the internet.
So she could make it up
herself. So she could just make it up.
It's not the same though, is it?
No, it's not. But I'm trying to make the person feel better. And you're trying to make them wallow in their grief.
They spoiled that. Imagine how expensive that holiday was as well if they had come from all the way from China.
Yeah, but that
woman, they might not.
That woman's husband, the Chinese woman's husband, actually got a penny thrown at him.
Yeah.
So he saved up.
Yeah, so they had a terrible time in the UK. Good morning to Jason and Neil. When I was about 7, I was just learning the playground flirting tactics, you know, generally pulling pigtails, that sort of thing. And I told the boy that I was glad that his grandma had died. Wow. Well,
yeah,
I'm
now
33, she says, and I still feel awful. I'm really sorry, Daniel. It's only because I liked you.
You know, negging is that thing that people...
Yeah, where they take people down a peg or two.
Yeah, so you kind of insult them and then that's meant to make them more attracted to you.
Yes,
I think she's fundamentally misunderstood it there.
She really has.
I'm glad your grandma's dead. That's...
Wow.
Yeah.
That is dark. That's Nikki in London. What about you? You're on the old Twitter there.
Yeah, and this is from Roy. And Roy said, for a while, we were getting our orange nicked off the doorstep. So he's understandably annoyed. Okay?
Yeah.
So I would half empty one bottle and I'd refill it with my wee that I've saved in an outside toilet and place back on doorstep. On Facebook, someone said recently, we used to nick orange off the steps around me. So payback 42 years later, that's Roy.
Oh my goodness, that is disgusting. But then at the same time,
who are we to judge?
They were thieves.
They were. That is kind of restorative justice there, isn't it?
But then who is stealing orange juice? It's people who want and who need orange juice.
I mean, there's only one person who can actually adjudicate in that. I think we have to contact the man from Del Monte. I'd imagine he's the only person who would have the expertise in the area.
He'd be like, that's 3/4 urine.
Yeah,
he would not.
Fruity vintage.
He would not be happy with that.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're well, here till 11. Or, well, if you want to listen to one of the other Absolute stations, then we're here till 12, I guess. I guess that's how it works. But then if you listen to this, you'll listen. Oh, it's so confusing.
How long have you done the show now?
I still don't quite get how it works.
Okay, you just... They turn on the light, you talk, and they turn off the light, and then you stop.
Yeah, okay. Basically. I'm on this station, the main station, on when I'm talking now.
Right.
But we go out an hour later on the other stations, like the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s and classic rock, an hour later. So I'm on till 12. Sometimes when I'm driving home...
You can hear yourself.
I'm on the radio and I'm like, am I supposed to be... What's going on?
Do you know that TV show called Yesterday?
No.
Our TV station is called Yesterday. There's you know, up where you have Ready and Pick and all those ones.
Right.
There's one called Yesterday.
I don't know.
Yeah, and there's a Yesterday Plus One
right.
as well.
Yeah.
And one day I had to explain to my father that the day after tomorrow is on Yesterday Tonight.
Yes, that would freak me out.
Yeah. We both kind of had to sit down and have a cup of tea after that.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I also have had about 3 hours sleep. So that's not helping.
You do look well in it.
Thanks, mate.
I mean, hungover suits some people. I'm not suggesting. I just said hungover.
You
there.
Assumed.
Yeah, I did correctly. Assume.
Well, I'm not a big drinker, you see. And I went last night because it's so rare to be in a town where one of your pals is also in town because obviously touring, you're in different places. But last night, Dara O'Brien was here.
Oh, thanks. Cool, yeah.
And
I thought you were going somewhere else with that, but that's that's good. You had a good time with Dara, did you?
It was nice to see
good,
Dara. Good. You've worked with Dara.
Yeah, I have worked. Worked with Dara.
Lovely man.
Yeah, he didn't mention he was in town to me. I had loads of sleep last night. Got the.
I think he presumed that you were in Dublin.
Half 10.
I don't think he would.
Watch Match of the Day and then slept for 10 hours.
He wouldn't naturally assume that you were in Belfast, I think.
Yeah. Could check that, couldn't he, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. But you'd have to take that with him.
Yeah.
It's not really on me. But in great spirits. Lovely man.
Great thing is I can hear about this, how awkward this was in another hour when I'm driving on the way
home.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Have a little another Absolute Radio station.
So yeah, it was a bit of... but I can... Because I look like a lot of people. I look like just a lot of...
That's such a weird sentence.
I know.
You do look like a lot of people.
I do. I look like a lot of people. Mm. And so I can mould into the background. Like sometimes people will be like, oh, is it? And I go, ah, do you know what? I get that a lot.
I know what you're going to say here.
But I don't look like him, you know. So, but when you're with Dara.
Yes. This is what we, this used to happen to us as well.
The man is 8 foot tall.
Yeah. He's like a lighthouse.
With a big bald head.
Yeah, you can't disguise. Yeah, and people will spot him and then they will flock to him.
Yes.
And then you see, if you're out with other people, you can just kind of slowly move away and then leave him stranded.
What kept happening was he was like a beacon.
Yes.
And they would come over and be like, oh, can I get a selfie? And then they would give me the camera to take a selfie. As I was taking a picture, they would go, oh, it's you. And then they would want a picture. So it ended up being a very long evening.
Yeah, but the alternative to that is they spot Dara, right, to go to you, take a picture of the two of us, then they recognise it's you, and then they don't ask for a picture of you.
Night.
Let's be honest with you, that would crush you.
I mean, I'd be devastated.
Yes, you would.
Absolutely devastated.
So if you see Jason out and about tonight, you know what to do.
That's it.
Because people in Belfast will do that to you for the crack.
Yeah. There's only one thing more annoying than being asked to do a selfie, and that's not being asked for one.
Yes.
Matters. Good morning, Jason Manford Show. Neil Delamere is here.
Hello.
Live from Belfast this morning. You can see Neil on his tour. If you're over in Ireland at some point, you can go to neildelamere.com. You can follow him on Twitter.
At Neil Delamere.
At Neil Delamere. Does not mess around. This man does not mess around.
No.
So go and see him on tour. And of course, Edinburgh Festival as well, which is always a great trip. You're definitely going there next year?
Absolutely, yeah. I know what the show is and everything.
Ooh.
I don't have no idea.
I was going to say, like, I'm sorry, who are you?
Yes, I've never met you before.
It's so weird when you go, I did Jonathan Ross last night.
Yeah.
And thanks for mentioning it. And I was on that show last night. And usually when you go on it, I'm actually in the middle of my tour. So I was able to, like, you know, pull a couple of gags from the tour and sort of give it as examples of what I'm talking about. And but usually you go on them in advance and they go, so what's it about?
And you have no idea.
And you are blagging it, man.
It's like trying to name a child before the child, you know.
So you've seen its face, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Your wife is just pregnant a month and they go, what are you going to call this child that you don't know the sex of?
I know. Yeah, so it was, but no, it was fun actually. It was a fun chat on last night with, I was on First and usually I ended up apologising afterwards to Jonathan and to the producer. Only my own, you know, sort of lack of ego sometimes. Where, so you know, you booked on that show as a comic to do your funny chat,
yeah,
and then gradually you move along the sofa until you're at the very edge of the sofa, and all the other guests have come on, and then you're supposed to just chip in, say funny things, all the way through. I'd done my chat and I thought that went quite well. That was quite nice, but then Lily Allen came on next, and she's plugging a book at the moment, and I'm a big fan of Lily Allen. I really like
her. Great.
And I like the fact she's outspoken. I like it that she's a bit lefty and a bit sort of, you know, she's got a voice. And but it got quite dark quite quickly. She was talking about some of the stuff in her book. I was like, crikey. And you can't be like, oh, yeah, that's a bit like when I was...
That reminded me of the time that I... Yeah.
So I just kept quiet, man. Kept quiet. Then Riz Ahmed came on.
Yes.
Who's brilliant Muslim actor. And he was, and I mentioned that because that's what he was talking about. He was talking about when he was growing up, there wasn't a lot of Asian actors on the telly.
Yeah.
And so he didn't have anyone to look up to. And it got sort of into that chat. And I thought, well, again.
I'm not pitching in on this
one. What can I do?
Okay.
Then Gemma Chan came on. She was talking about being in Captain Marvel. She's been talking about in the film Crazy Rich Asians, which is out at the moment. And she's fabulous. She's absolutely brilliant. I watched her, you might have seen her in Humans on Channel 4.
She
played the sort of robot. And then she was chatting about being, you know, an actor of Chinese descent and, you know, and how you feel like you're representing a lot of people sometimes. And I'm just sat there on the end like, I got nothing, guys.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah, saying nothing is better than getting that wrong, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's exactly what I thought. And there was a moment where Riz Ahmed said, he basically looked down the couch and he was like, you know, and he said, what he said was totally right. But I was just sat there. He said, you know, it's a big deal when you're a Muslim actor because you feel like there's a lot of Muslims watching you in the big films or whatever it is, and you feel like you're representing them and you're also a role model for them, you know. And he looked to Gemma to his right, and he said, you know, it'd be the same for you, for anybody with, from Chinese descent. And he said to Lily Allen, he said, and also you've got, you know, you're the voice of, you know, women, and that was, and it's, and he just looked, and then he looked at me, and then he just carried off. And I was like, overweight white northern men need a voice too.
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Rich, over on, well, later on, Rich wants to give a shout out to everyone running the Hull Marathon today, especially Paul Spence, founder of Paul for Brain, huge charity in Hull that helps people who have suffered brain injuries. So good luck to you guys. Lots of charity running. Crikey.
Have you ever done one? Rarely has a theory been just shot out of the water with one syllable there. You didn't even form a full word, like, did you?
No. No, I very much think running is for emergency situations only.
Other people?
Yeah.
Okay.
So either, for me, it's if in an emergency, I'll peg it.
Okay.
But not for...
And what would your exercise, your go-to exercise of choice be? I could see you in a spin class.
Could you?
Yeah. I mean, not for long.
No, I
but
mean,
I think I could see you in a spin class like with a heart rate monitor around your chest.
No, I like a bit. I don't mind. I don't actually mind the gym that much, but I like a team game.
Right.
I like a game of five-a-side or a game of tennis or something like that. I prefer playing with other people.
That well-known team game, tennis.
Well, yeah, doubles.
Okay,
there you go.
Right.
But no, as in there's other people involved rather than just you on a treadmill staring at, you know, loose women or whatever you're watching on the telly. So, yeah, I'm not. That's not my idea of fun. And the term fun run is the biggest oxymoron I've ever heard.
Here's one you should avoid as well. I tried Bikram yoga once. If it's your thing, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's 40 degrees heat for 90 minutes.
Nah.
Like, I've seen an Irish person do that before. It was the 1994 World Cup in Florida. Do you remember? And Steve Staunton nearly died. He was there for 1 minute and there was a little ginger puddle there the next with freckles floating across the top of it. Avoid at all costs. If
yeah,
you're from
that
Britain
is not.
Ireland.
That doesn't sound my kind of thing either. Yeah. No. Yeah, but fair play. Absolutely, you knock yourselves out today on your charity run. I'm well into that. You stayed somewhere quite fancy this week, didn't you, in Ireland?
I did, yeah. I brought my dad away and I stayed in a place that apparently has... There's the floor is all wooden and there are only three floors like this, and it's this place and then Buckingham Palace and then Windsor Castle.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a fancy floor.
It was very, very fancy.
And this is like one of the best hotels in the world. And
yeah,
it's
apparently
here in
so,
Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the Republic.
Yeah, so I brought my dad there because he's getting old now, so it's much easier to get... presents.
Yes.
As they get older, you go, that's the last time I'm going to have to buy him this.
Does he appreciate a nice hotel?
He does, yeah, he does. He's
that's
great.
Good.
He's good. He's good crack, my dad.
See, my dad... Like,
he actually made me bring him.
Oh,
because
right, okay.
my last Edinburgh show was entirely about him and he kind of wanted the royalties essentially
yeah,
for it.
I'm sure.
So it was the last day he ever delivered the Meals on Wheels. That's what it was. So, and
right,
he said, this is genuinely what he said to me. He goes, I want you to talk to every single older person when we're delivering the Meals on Wheels because they might...
So you went with him?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
But he's 83 and he's delivering the Meals on Wheels to people who are younger than him. But he said, talk to them because they might be socially isolated and you might be the only adult conversation they would get
that
day,
course,
right? So we talked to the first three people and maybe I delivered the Meals on Wheels and it maybe took about 20 minutes because I spoke to them. And then he delivered the fourth one and the person inside gave him a tip for a horse that was running in 25 minutes and we tore through the next seven Meals on Wheels basically horse and roast chicken out a window like a drive-by shooting to see if we could get home in time to put the money in the horse. But I did this as an entire tour and he kind of went, I want royalties, and I
That's
said, I'll bring
enough
you away instead. Yeah.
Crikey, if my family start asking for royalties, I'm done for.
Yeah, you talk about them a lot.
I mean, they
you
are.
Need to give back, man.
I know. I mean, I do, to be fair. I mean, they've definitely had it over the years. Yeah, my dad doesn't really appreciate things in that respect. Like, I try and treat them to nice things a few times, but he's not, it's not his thing. And I don't know. I find it with, well, I talked about it last night, actually, on Jonathan Ross, about sort of giving them tickets to shows. And my dad always, in a hotel, I think my dad just, after about two stars, he's a bit like, oh, it's a bit fancy, this.
Yeah.
And like, I remember a concierge once in a fancy London hotel came over and said to my dad, can I take your bags? And my dad was like, no. I was like, no, that's what he does. Like, and his logic is sound. He's like, no, that's his job, Dad. He's supposed to take your bags. He goes, where are you taking them? He's like, to your room. He's like, well, I'm going that way anyway, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of my job.
It's just part of the thing, Dad. It's part of the thing. He's not into it at all.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Matters. Looks like my dad's not the only one when it comes to the concierge
stuff.
Situation.
Yeah.
Selena in Bray. She says, morning, Jason. Me and your dad have got a similar outlook on the old concierge helping out. Other half arranged a visit to a very posh restaurant in Waterside in Bray for my 40th. Concierge opened the car door on arrival. I grabbed my handbag and told him to do one. Thought we were being carjacked.
She went to a posh restaurant and thought you were being carjacked. If you were running through the possibilities in your head there, you might think that he's going to actually help you.
Yes. But
yeah. She's been traumatised by something before.
I know. My dad does it all the time. I remember being in a quite a nice restaurant as well. My dad said to the waiter, he had the menu. He's like, what does that mean there, mate? And he said, oh, it's the chef's favourites. He's like, why is that relevant? Who cares what he likes? I was like, I mean, you're right.
Yeah, technically, he should cook all the food to the same standard.
Yeah.
He should make a bit more of an effort if he really likes this one.
Finds it tasty. Yeah, that sort of logic, you can't...
I'm finding it hard to argue with your dad on this.
You can't argue with him. Like, tipping is a thing that bugs my dad. Tipping.
Right.
He finds that sort of difficult. I mean, we've been on holiday before, watching him just staring out a Spanish porter.
Yeah.
Till one of them gives up.
And it's not going to be the Spanish porter.
It ain't going to be that Spanish porter. He wants you for your €4. He ain't going anywhere. I'm like, just give it him. Before, I remember once...
It's a point of principle, though.
At a hotel, I gave, like, a fiver or something. And my dad was like, a fiver? I was like, look, there's a lot of bags. You know what I mean? Like, just don't be... A fiver. Like, he was fuming about it. I was like, you can't give less than paper money. Like, in that situation. You can if it's, like, a cab driver or something like that. But you can't give an adult a pound.
He shouldn't walk away jingling.
No.
I think you're right.
I'd feel embarrassed. Yes. Yeah, mate, get yourself some sweets.
Yeah, having carried 47 bags.
Yeah. But no, he's
would
not.
Your dad bring loads of, would he, like, pack rashers and sausages and tea and all that sort of stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Well. Yeah.
Would he?
Yeah, he'd bring. We went on holiday a few years ago and we've all gone, having a lovely time. And there's about 10 of us. So, you know, and I've put the bill because it's my family, you know, we've gone away. And it's a dead nice hotel. And I'd stayed there before and I thought, oh, they're going to love this. And after two or three, there was like a Japanese restaurant it was in Spain, but it was a Japanese restaurant, really nice. They weren't happy about it. Like, they're like, ooh. And they had to put like a jacket on to go into the restaurant. It was one of them sort of places. After about 4 days, my dad said, oh, I'm taking you lot out today. So mum hired a car and we drove to the near Costa, you know, whatever, Costa Brava, whatever it was, the nearest sort of seaside town. And we got into like an English restaurant. We were in an English restaurant and we ordered full English breakfast or whatever it was, cups of tea. There was Weakest Link on that telly and an old Only Fools and Horses. There was a red phone box in the corner and posters of footballers who no longer play football on the wall. And my dad's there reading the Daily Mirror. And he turned to my mum and he went, oh, it's nice to get away, isn't it? I was like, we're not away.
Absolute Radio. Manford. Where real music matters.
Talked off air a little bit about this. We're going to mention it. Have you watched Daniel Sloss's new show?
I have seen his live show in Edinburgh this year, but I haven't seen his two that are on Netflix.
Yeah, so two of them have gone onto Netflix. It's hugely popular. He's a very funny comic. Been on the show a few times. Make sure you listen to the podcast. And apparently, in his new show, Jigsaw, which is on Netflix now, Daniel Sloss has broken up 4,000 relationships and caused 17 divorces in just 10 days.
Oh, what?
It's a hell of a claim.
How many? Give me the figures again.
4,000 relationships over. 17 divorces in just 10 days.
Now, I haven't seen the show, but you'd have to imagine that you'd be on fairly rocky ground.
I think that's the idea.
If a Netflix special will really... Unless a Netflix special was consisted entirely of pictures of you with somebody you shouldn't be with.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's the only way.
Well, you know, but the Scottish comedian Daniel Sloss says a 20-minute joke in one of his shows has been responsible for more than 4,000 breakups. His live stand-up routines have been streaming on Netflix since September the 11th, and so it's only been available for 10 days. In Jigsaw, Daniel rubbishes the notion that everyone has a soulmate, saying the message society puts out is, if you are not with someone, you are broken. If you are not with someone, you are incomplete. If you are not with someone, you are not whole. So that's what he says happens in the show. As a result, We're made to feel as though we need a partner to feel complete, meaning many settle and end up with the wrong person. We'll force this person into our lives because we'd much rather have something than nothing, he explains. The advice has struck a chord with people all over the world who have been messaging Sloss to thank him for changing their lives.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I would suggest, though, if he keeps going, though, and it gets more and more and more powerful, more and more tight the way a show normally does. I know he's done it on Netflix now. That could get so effective that people split up during the show. Like, he could end up with half the audience at the end of the show as people just decide. Yeah.
I've had a couple of times on tour, because my tickets went on sale, like, over a year ago. People bought the tickets when they were with somebody else.
Oh, no.
Have broken up in the meantime and are now with someone new.
Brought the new person.
And brought the new person. That's a bit awkward on the front row.
Yeah, but you're just implying that everybody likes Jason Manford, aren't you?
Well, I mean...
Even the old one and the new one. That's what you're implying there.
Well, if you do, then, you know, why not?
Do you know what I liked about Dinah Sloss's gig this year when I went to see him? It was in such a nice venue that all the bags got searched on the way in.
Oh, that is
you
classy.
You see, that's my aim.
That's classy, that. That is classy. A few people have sort of said, message him, Daniel, on Twitter saying, Daniel, I guess you can add another to the list. I watched your Jigsaw show last night and just wanted to say thank you. Certainly not the message I expected from a comedy special, but the analogy has stuck in my head ever since, and you were right. Lots of people just breaking up because of a comedy show.
From an Elizabeth R. in Buckingham Palace. Yeah. Now, that would be a spectacular one.
From a 26-year-old single comedian. You can't just take his word on it. That's all I would say. Daniel is giving his version of his life. And if it strikes a chord, happy days. But crikey, surely there must be somebody for everybody.
Yeah, there probably is. I mean, I imagine it might be difficult for Daniel to go out with somebody now, though.
Yeah, well, it will be. They'll all be worried, won't
they? It's only a matter of time.
Yes. What's going to happen if... Daniel gets, like, what if in the next few weeks someone gets with Daniel, right? Yeah. That he falls head over heels in love.
And then they watch the show.
And then in 2 years' time, he watches the show and they go, I don't think this is going to work out. With a self-fulfilling prophecy for poor Daniel Sloss.
It's literally your fault, Daniel. Sunday mornings, 8
till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. That's the end of the show, Neil Delamere.
Oh, thanks a million for having me.
Absolute pleasure. It's been fun. It's been good to have you. I've got a day off now in Belfast.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I said to my wife, I said, why don't we go to the Giant's Causeway?
Yes.
I've been there a couple of times. She's never been. It's amazing. The kids can see where the Giants came and Finn McCool and all the mythology.
Yeah, you listen to it. Well.
And she went, oh, it's cold though, isn't it? I was like, yeah, but as Billy Connolly says, there's no such thing as bad weather, only the wrong clothes.
Yeah.
So let's just get there. And apparently there's one of these giant cruise ships coming into Belfast today. One of the biggest in the world. So there's a lot of people going up to the Giant's Causeway just to have a good nosy.
So are you going to go or not? No. You're not going to go, are you?
I wanted to go. She didn't want to go. So we're compromised.
And you're not going.
We're not going.
Yeah, you're going shopping is what you're doing. Or you're reminding the kids while she's walking around.
I think so. And also, I've done that thing now where because I went out last night with Dara after the show.
Why'd you meet Dara? Oh, yeah, good.
Oh, sorry, mate. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes, it's twice you've done that now.
Sorry.
Yeah, what'd you do? Did you have a good time?
It was nice,
good,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
He did say, he's like, Neil's not with me, is he? Yeah.
Okay, that was the level of specificity that has actually made it hurtful. That's too far.
But I've basically robbed time off my future self. So usually what I would do now is I'd go back to the hotel, see the kids for half an hour, and then my wife would say, right, I'll take them out for an hour, you get a nap, and then we'll have the rest of the day. And I've got a feeling that I have stolen that hour from myself.
That is the worst science fiction concept for a film ever. You've robbed time for your
I've robbed
future
time
self,
from my
but you
future
just
self.
Sleep and have a nap for a
yeah.
bit. With
yeah, there's no time travelling
Terminator 7.
Exactly. If you want to follow Neil, get on to Twitter, at Neil Delamere. His website's neildelamere.com. He's touring all over Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, and you can see him at the Edinburgh Festival next August as well. So there's all the details for you. Thanks for coming in, mate.
It's been a pleasure.
Been lovely to catch up with you. Have a lovely Sunday, and I will see you next week, live from Dublin, with Ross Noble. This is Jason Manford. This is Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
This 4th of July, celebrate freedom from bad sleep at Sleep Outfitters. Right now, save up to 70% on best-selling mattresses from the brands you know and trust. Plus, with select Sealy purchases, get a free adjustable base to help you sleep cooler, deeper, and more comfortably. Not sure which mattress is right for you? Our exclusive BedMatch diagnostic technology helps match your body to the perfect mattress in just minutes. And get free white glove delivery and setup, plus our lifetime price guarantee and 0% interest financing. Hurry into Sleep Outfitters. These deals won't last.